The gospel of Jesus Christ is something that angels would long to look at.
He seems to care not only that I live, but how I live.
You're going to have to pick and choose. Go with God's word or go with what the world is saying. You need to come down into the Word of God and try and test everything according to the Word of God, which is the plumb line, which helps us to know, is it true or is it false? Preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from
heaven. I've got a God who really is intricately involved in the affairs of man.
Force every sinew muscle within you to give it all it's got and go all the way to the finish line. It's a labor, and it's a labor of love. The love expresses itself in toil, in sweat and blood and tears and going all the way. And he says, as I remember,
every word is given of God, and therefore it is the end, it is perfect, it is the full inspiration of God. It is the only source of authority that you and I have.
Well, it's a Friday here at Word for the World, and I'm Dr. Randy White. Every now and then on Friday, I like to put aside the regularly scheduled broadcast and just talk to you as if we were sitting across a table from one another, having a cup of coffee and visiting about the things of the Lord, the things of the Scripture. And that's exactly what I want to do here today. And I want to talk to you about the resurrection, not just the resurrection of Christ, but the resurrection of everyone, believers and unbelievers. I want us to put together some thoughts about when those who are dead are going to rise again. So today, I hope you just pull up a chair, sit here across the table from me, and let's visit for a while about the resurrection. You know, we've just finished Easter celebrations and the resurrection of of Jesus Christ and the celebration of that resurrection, and now, having just finished Easter, I want to consider this fact of the resurrection. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, there is so much information given to us about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and the resurrection of believers. You remember when Jesus spoke to Mary and Martha after Lazarus had died? Jesus said, well, don't you know he's going to be raised again? And Mary said, oh, yes, I know that he'll be raised again in the last day. This idea of the resurrection has been around a long time. In fact, it's an idea that comes from the oldest of times, even from the Old Testament. In fact, when Abraham brought his son Isaac, and he said, I'm going to return, I believe that Abraham had faith that God was going to resurrect the son whom he would sacrifice. Rather, God didn't allow him to sacrifice that son, but he did provide a ram, and that ram was indicative of the coming son who would be sacrificed there on that same mountaintop, Mount Moriah. And that son, Jesus Christ, would be sacrificed and would rise again. Now, I'm a believer in the resurrection. I'm a believer in the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is, he didn't just raise from the dead spiritually, has some spiritual power, but he rose from the dead bodily. That is, his body came back alive, his heart began to beat, the blood began to flow through his veins. Physically, Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22, the scripture says, for as in Adam, all die. I would love to speak to you about original sin, because this is what picks up here when it says, in Adam, all die. You see, my friend, there was not death until Adam and Eve ate from the fruit, and the curse came upon the world, and part of that curse was death. And because we're born of Adam, we're his descendants. I don't know if you're listening in the car today as you drive down the road, or maybe you're listening on the internet, or maybe you're listening on your iPad or your smartphone. I don't know how you're listening to this broadcast today, but I do know one thing about you. That is, you descended from Adam. None of you are Martians. None of you are aliens. You are a descendant of Adam. And being a descendant of Adam, I know the problem you have. The problem is you're going to die. We are born to die as sparks fly upward, is what Job had to say. I know it's uncomfortable sometimes for us to speak of this, but it is the truth. We've got this terminal disease called death, and it comes from our ancestry. Our parents had it. Our grandparents, great-grandparents had it. Many of them have already died. And we come to the truth that in Adam, all die. The Scripture teaches that in several ways, in several manners, in several places, but here we're reminded again, in Adam, all die. Now, I want to ask you, who does all mean? Very clearly, all means all, doesn't it? It doesn't matter if you're reading in English, in Greek, in Hebrew. It doesn't matter if you have the King James Version or the New American Standard Version or the New International Version or the English Standard Version. All means all, doesn't it? Everyone. There's not a person listening to my voice now who is not included in this truth, for as in Adam, all die. We're all terminal. It is appointed unto man once to die, the Scripture says, and after that comes the judgment. Now, here's where the Scripture gets exciting. It says, as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. In Adam all die, in Christ all will be made alive. You know, that verse bothers some people because there's an idea out there called universalism. Now, universalism is a false idea, even a heretical idea, that everyone is going to be saved. I don't believe that at all. I believe that the Bible very clearly tells us that he who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son does not have the life. So what's it mean here when it says that in Christ all will be made alive? Well, I think we have to take it literally for exactly what it says here. That it is not telling us that there is going to be salvation for all in Christ. That would not be true. But in Christ, all will be made alive. How in the world are all going to be made alive? Well, just very literally. Through the resurrection of Christ, all will eventually be resurrected themselves. And that's the heart of what I want to get into today, is talking about the resurrection of all. You see, in this passage of Scripture, just a couple of verses before, in verse 20, it says that Christ has been raised from the dead, and he was raised as the first fruits of those who are asleep. I like that word, first fruits, because it is a reminder, and such a powerful reminder, of the promise of the resurrection. That is, it tells us that there is more to come. Back in the days of the offerings in the Old Testament, you can read about this in the 23rd chapter of Leviticus. There is the teaching of the offerings of the first fruits. One of them would be given just shortly after Passover. In fact, depending on how the calendar fell, it was always on the first day of the week. It was always on a Sunday, on the first day that they brought the offering of the first fruits. And on the particular year that Jesus was crucified, we have Passover and the Sabbath, and then the next day, the Sunday, would have been the first fruits. And on that day, they would have brought just a little quart of barley as an offering to give unto the Lord. And they would wave that before the Lord as a first fruits offering. It was an acknowledgement, God, this little bit of grain, this little harvest that I've got, it came from you, and I trust you for that which will come afterwards. And I acknowledge that you are the giver not only of that which comes first, but you're the giver of that which comes later. And I in advance give that to you. It'll be yours to do with as you please for your glory. It was a first fruits offering, very beautiful in many ways. We're to come and give a first fruits offering of our time and our talents and our treasure as we come before the Lord, not in the legalistic kind of way of the Old Testament law, but under grace, coming and saying, I want to give the first. I want to give the best of that which comes, and I want to offer it unto the Lord. But on the day of the first fruit offering, while many were bringing their barley sacrifice unto the temple and to the priest, here was Christ as the first fruits offering of the resurrection. Christ rises again, and he comes as that beautiful offering of the first fruits. The first fruits again, remember, that means what? That means there will be latter fruits. There'll be secondary fruits. In fact, verse 20 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says that Christ is the first fruits of those who are asleep. That is, of those who have died. He's the first fruits. Christ had died and was buried and rose again as the first fruits of those who died. You see what it's saying? It's saying that all who died are going to rise again like Christ did. I've got two wonderful grandparents that I loved and had a close relationship that have died. My wife's grandfather also has died. Other friends that I've lost along the way through car accidents or sickness, some old, some young, and death came and carried out its sting and its curse. They died. But I can rejoice that death is just temporary, because Christ died also, but just a temporary death. And Christ is going to make sure that that's how it is with all, that it's just a temporary death. So Christ came as the first fruits. Now, getting back to verse 22, it says, in Adam, all die. Remember who all is? All is everybody. Nobody gets away from death, right? In Adam, all die. So also in Christ, all will be made alive. All. Remember what all means? All means everyone. That means whether you are saved or unsaved, there is going to be a resurrection. But the scripture goes on to say, but each in his own order. Each in his own order, all will be made alive. Now, those are very important words, each in his own order. You need to understand that, and you need to know which order you are in. So we're going to take just a break from the teaching here for just a moment, and then I'll pick up right there. Each in his own order will be made alive. I'll be right back. We'll get back to our teaching in just a moment, but I want to stop for a moment and let you know about a brand new booklet I've got called The Three Statements of Thomas. It's just a simple read of 38 pages, and it contains the three statements that are recorded in the New Testament from the man we call Doubting Thomas. It's a nice little paperback cover, glossy paperback that you could give as a gift to someone and be proud to hand to them. It's just a little encouragement to someone who may be on a journey of doubt. Well, maybe you yourself are on that journey of doubt. You don't want to be known forever as Doubting Thomas. It's $7.95, or if you buy five copies or more, they're $5 a piece. I hope you'll call us. Our toll-free number is 1-855-437-9448. That's 1-855-437-9448. Give us a call right now. Well, thank you for holding with us. Now, we were talking before the break about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and the scripture says, as in Adam, all die, so in Christ, all will be made alive. All is all. Now, made alive does not mean saved, however, because the scripture goes on to say, but each in his own order. Each one will be made alive in his own order. Now, that word order is an important word. We see it several times in the Bible, especially in the Old Testament. We see this word used as the word order really speaks of an encampment, or I suppose the best way you and I would understand it is the word battalion. And so here it says, each one is going to be made alive. All are going to be made alive in Christ, but each one in his own battalion. You mean there are different battalions of resurrection? Yes, there is. I want to spend the next few moments talking about the different battalions in the coming resurrections. Christ is the first fruits. He was the first battalion in the resurrection. He's a battalion in and of himself, is he not? And then we're told in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 that the next scheduled battalion for the resurrection comes on the day of the rapture. The scripture speaks about those who are asleep, who are the dead in Christ. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, then, verse 16, It says that, verse 15, it says, "This we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them to meet them in the clouds in the air." That word caught up, by the way, is the Latin word raptured. We'll be snatched out of here. So those who are alive will be snatched out, but those who are the dead in Christ, they will rise first. That is, they are the next battalion. They're the ones scheduled. Christ, the first fruits, and then the next battalion comes to the dead in Christ. This is those loved ones I mentioned earlier, my grandparents and my wife's grandfather and these friends that I have lost through the years who are the dead in Christ. Now, the scripture tells us that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So we know that their soul is present with the Lord. In fact, even in this 1 Thessalonians passage, it says on that day of the Lord's return, when he comes to rapture those who are alive in that time of the resurrection, he says that those who are asleep will come with him. So there's a sense in which they are with him, and there's a sense in which their body is here. The soul is with the Lord. The body remains here until that day of the resurrection. Years ago, we used to sing about this day. It was an old song called "The Great Getting Up Morning." And that morning will come when the trumpet will sound and the dead in Christ shall rise. And we'll celebrate that. That's the next battalion to be raised. All will be raised, each in his own order. Well, what about those who are not raised during that time? In the 20th chapter of Revelation, we see another group of battalions, two of them that come and are resurrected then at the end of time. This is at the end of the tribulation. The Antichrist and the false prophet have met their doom, and Satan has been bound for 1,000 years. And at the beginning of that 1,000 years, the scripture tells us that there was a resurrection. In Revelation chapter 20, verse 4, it says, "I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given them. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of the testimony of Jesus and because of the word of God, and those who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received the mark on their forehead and on their hand. And they came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. That is, those who received Jesus Christ during the days of the tribulation. Many of the Jewish people, the Jewish nation, as the scripture says, all of Israel will be saved. And yet many who come to the Lord during that time will endure severe persecution, some of them unto a martyr's death. And Revelation chapter 20, verse 4 tells us that at the second coming of Jesus Christ, at the beginning of the 1,000-year kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, there's going to be a resurrection. A battalion will be raised again. Christ the first fruits, and now this battalion will be raised. And this is believers, those who came to know the Lord during the time of the tribulation. Many of them came to death because of martyrdom. They will be raised again. So now we've had two battalions, or three, if you will. There's Christ as the first fruits. Then there's the battalion of the dead in Christ who will be raised at the rapture. And then at the second coming of Christ, there's the battalion of those who have lost their life during the tribulation. So all will be made alive, each in his own order. However, I need you to know that not all have been raised to this point. You see, up to this point, it is only those who were in Christ. But the scripture speaks of another battalion. After the end of that 1,000 years are over, there's a final battalion in which the scripture says in Revelation 20, verse 13, "The sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every one of them according to their deeds." You see, the rest of the dead, that is, they haven't been in a previous battalion. They hadn't been raised yet. They were not the dead in Christ. They were not those who accepted Christ in the tribulation. They were the rest of the dead, and they did not come to life until the 1,000 years were completed. And the scripture says that's the resurrection that you do not want to be part of. Now, to whom will the resurrection have effect? To everyone. Just like the sin of Adam had an effect on everyone, so the resurrection of Jesus Christ will have an effect on everyone, saved and unsaved. There is no way that you can get around it. Now, here's a couple of things I think you ought to do. First of all, you ought to rejoice that death is just temporary. Death is a curse that the Lord wouldn't put up with, and he said, I'm going to come and take care of it once and for all. And then you ought to rejoice that we have Jesus Christ as the down payment or the first fruits of the resurrection. Now, there's something then you very much ought to consider, have to consider, must consider, right now consider it. I want to ask you a very important question. Here it is. Which battalion are you in? That's right. Which camp is yours? Which resurrection day is yours? You'll be raised from the dead, no doubt about it. But each in his own order. Which order is yours? Maybe it's the dead in Christ. I pray that if you were to die today, that it would be the dead in Christ. Maybe you'll be fortunate enough, I think many of us will, to be those who are alive and remain. But what if we're not alive? What if we die? Will you be one in that rapture? Friend, if not, I just want to tell you that today is the day of salvation. You've heard the word about the resurrection, and now you're responsible. And I hope you'll say, Father, I commit myself to you, God, and I submit, and I receive the salvation that you have made available for me in Jesus Christ. I take him to be my Lord and Savior. I submit my life to him. I die in Christ and will only live in Christ. Friend, I hope that's where you are today. As we've walked through the resurrection, Christ as the first fruits, and after that, those who are coming, but each in his own order. I want to tell you about a free offer we have before you go today, and that is a DVD that I created based upon the book that I wrote. The book is called The Antichrist, and the DVD is a little over 90 minutes of teaching on the Antichrist. And I tell you about the role of Israel. I talk about the origin of the Antichrist, where he comes from, what nations even he comes from, and what the roots are, what race is the Antichrist, what's the mindset of the Antichrist. You see, there's really an awful lot that the scripture reveals to us about the Antichrist, this man of lawlessness, as the scripture says. Now, we learn in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8, that lawless one will be revealed. Now, I don't reveal him in my book. I can't do that. I don't reveal him on the DVD. I can't do that. You see, only the Lord is going to reveal. But I do tell you what the signs are that the scripture tells us that this man of lawlessness is revealed. I'd love to send you the book. You certainly can get the book from us, but the DVD is absolutely free. And if you'll call us today, we'll send you this DVD, we'll add you to our mailing list, and I believe this will be a blessing to you and an educational blessing to you, as it has been for so many. We have sent these, I believe, to all 50 states, and would love to send one to your home as well. It's a free DVD on the Antichrist, and all you need to do is call us. The number is 1-855-437-9448. Once again, that's 1-855-437-9448. 1-855-437-9448. Give us a call and request the free DVD, The Antichrist.
Until next time, thank you for joining us and helping to spread God's word to the world.
fulfilling the promise just like he said he would, the prophecy. He said, you'll be scattered for many days,
but then I'm going to call you back home.
If it's a nation created by God, then Israel is a nation protected by God. All these covenants, all these promises, all the Old Testament, all the New Testament, all came to us from the Jews. I think in our daily prayer life, we ought to be praying for the peace of Jerusalem.
And as we close out this week at Friend of Zion, I hope that you have been and will be praying for the peace of Jerusalem. I'm Dr. Randy White, and each day at friendofzion.com, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. I hope you'll go to our website, friendofzion.com, and join our mailing list or click like on our Facebook page as we pray together for the peace of Jerusalem. Yesterday, we were talking about how Joshua the high priest was taken before the Lord, and Satan was going to accuse him, but Satan had an advocate, and that advocate was the Messiah, the angel of the Lord, and that advocate said, "The Lord rebuke you, Satan." Now, Joshua was not accused because he had an advocate. It was not that Joshua was not accused because there was nothing to accuse him of. In fact, in the very next verse, Zechariah chapter 3, verse 3, it says, Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and standing before the angel. Now, that just doesn't make sense, does it? Joshua, the high priest had strict instructions about how to dress when he was standing before holiness. In fact, he not only had a dress code, he had the dress. He had the robe that he was to wear. And here he is, not wearing it. And yet, the Lord says, remove the filthy garments from him. See, I have taken your iniquity away from you and will clothe you with festal robes. Friend, the day of the salvation of the Jews is coming. It's coming in that day when Satan stands before the Lord to accuse him, the day of Jacob's trouble. And in that day, Israel is going to find out that she has a Messiah and that that Messiah is her advocate. And she will mourn him whom they have pierced. And she will come and say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And in that beautiful day, God will remove the stony heart and give them a heart of flesh, as he has promised through Jeremiah that he would do. In that day, he will remove the filthy garments and give him a clean robe. Heavenly Father, that day has not arrived yet. The people of Israel still are rejecting Jesus as Messiah. But we know that the day is coming in which you are going to do a prophetic work among the people of Israel, and that in that day they will return not only to you, but to the angel of the Lord, to the Messiah. They will receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. We look forward to that day, and we have great confidence and trust that that day is coming soon. Praying for the peace of Jerusalem, in Jesus' name, amen. For friendofzion.com, I'm Dr. Randy White.